Hi, everyone. Before you keep watching, please take into consideration some of these materials are a little sensitive, and I'm not a professional. So if you want professional help, go seek for it and be careful. Some of these subjects can be sensitive. Thank you and enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of Dare to Think. In this episode, we're going to talk about one of the biggest events of World War II, one that I think most people overlook, but that has and has had the effect on me to change my perspective of what war looks like and what happened to the people of Dresden in February 1945. At this time, we're going to talk about an event that was one of the first international scandals to rock the world. At that time, it was a time where the Allies were seen as evil, thanks to Joseph Goebbels' campaign against the Allies. This is a monumental moment of the war and one that is rather shameful for the Allied parties. I want to start by giving a little bit of context. Dresden is what some people call the Florence of Alba. It is a city that is beautiful, filled with architecture, and that to this day a lot of Westerners regarded as one of the biggest and most attracting cities for tourists who wanted to come and visit and learn a little bit about this incredible place. It was mostly a cultural place. It was a city that hosted a lot of refugees of other German cities during the war. It was a city of people who were more or less living their regular lives before this happened. There was also this misconception that Dresden would never be bombed. This comes from many places, but especially from this particular perspective. They thought that because the city was such a cultural hub and because the Westerners liked the city so much, there was a low probability of them getting bombed. It got to a point where there was even a rumor that, the aunt of the British Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, lived in Dresden, and so they would never get bombed. That turned out to be very, very false. And that confidence of being away from danger led to them not preparing properly, which meant it was the German city that had the least amount of bombing shelters than any other. It was the seventh largest German city, yet it had very, very, very little bombing shelters. The only other one was the one created by the governor, who, right after the bombing, fled and never came back to Dresden. This story is not a beautiful one. It's a tragic one. And I warn you that if you ever do come across footage from the Dresden fire and bombing, I recommend extreme caution. The tale is not one for the light and faint-hearted. It is very, very much hard to listen to. I want to summarize this very quickly. There's another part of this that comes from the Allies. We know that World War II was a battle between good and evil. World War II was the Nazis versus the Allies, one of the racist regime by, you know, what we know in the world. It's, you know, por antología, como por antonomasia, es como el régimen racista más conocido. We know that they were the bad guys, and we know that the Allies won, but that doesn't mean that there weren't bad things in the Allied side. One of those bad things was the leader of Bomber Command, the British part of the Air Force that was in charge of command of bombing, and his name was Arthur Harris. They called him the Bomber. Arthur Harris was described by many as a fanatic and an attack dog. He was a man who had a philosophy and believed that the best way to win the war was to bomb German cities. He believed that cities, civilians, are all part of the German war machine. And if you harmed them, you harmed the war machine. And he believed that bombing cities, a plan which he called worker dehousing, would lead to a crippling of the German industry. So he believed that bombing was the only choice. And for a while, in the beginning of the war, his efforts of changing what the British had done before, which was specific bombing. They would go and have a very precise target they would have to hit because of many complications. They had to do that at night. And you can imagine, without very precise instruments that they didn't have at the time, you know, bombing a very specific target was something that almost that never happened. Actually, there's even the story of a couple of pilots who, after they returned, realized that they had been 5 miles away from their target, something that today would be absolutely unprecedented. The strategy that Harris was using was later, you know, recalled for a bit. The Churchill started becoming very, you know, preoccupied because the bombing of Hamburg had happened before and it had not been very pretty. And he understood and knew that maybe this wasn't what they were supposed to be doing. I think that there's a quote of that was created. There was a quote of Churchill that says, "Are we beasts for doing this?" He was becoming conscientious about the fact that maybe bombing cities this way wasn't the Allied way. What happens later is that Normandy comes into the picture. We have, you know, an actual land invasion inside of occupied France. Y como que la vía más rápida de terminar la guerra deja de ser caerse a bombas y empieza a ser ganar y llegar hasta Berlín. ¿Qué pasa? Los aliados están entrando por abajo por Francia y por arriba, por el este, están los rusos. The Red Army had just won the Battle of Stalingrad and they were about to go in. At that time, the American president, Churchill, and Stalin all get together. It was Roosevelt, if I'm not mistaken. They all get together and Churchill and Roosevelt were, you know, buddy-buddy talking and saying, look, we need to offer the Red Army something so that they can keep invading. Because Stalin was claiming que básicamente toda la parte más difícil de la guerra se la estaban dejando a él, la parte con más muertes. Estaban dejando las muertes del lado ruso y estaban dejándose las cosas menos peligrosas para ellos. And so what they decided to do was ask Bomber Command, more than ask, they ordered Bomber Command to give air support to the Red Army. And Harris completely refused. He said, this is not something I'm going to do. The way to win this war is bombing cities, and I will not listen to anything else. And he didn't bow until Churchill himself went to see him and said, this is what you're going to do. You will go, and you will help the Red Army so that we can get past the Nazis. At this point, Churchill had been stepping away from this policy of bombing cities because he had felt this, you know, guilt. And everything seemed like it would never happen. And then there's a development in the war and they realized that they had now had ships that could go further inside. And after having had D-Day and the Red Army, most other troops would have surrendered, but the Germans didn't. And so the Allies thought that what they needed was to give them a shock big enough so that they would shut down. And they decided to call Harris and ask him again to bomb a city. Dresden is called the raid that went horribly well because everything happened exactly like it had to. Harris had been running city bombings for a very long time and they had never been like this. They had never gone so well. What happens is the following. They have the Lancasters. There's a new type of heavy bomber that could go for further. Okay, these guys also had a strategy where they put, you know, aluminum foil inside airplanes and they would drop them like they were bombs. And this would create a curtain that a radar couldn't see through, which seems it's ingenious. And so the Germans, even though some of the cities could see that there was something there, they couldn't see what it was. It was like a curtain that wouldn't let you see. So they never knew to which city they were going to. Dresden, again, absolutely ill-prepared at a night that was very dry, very cold, and full of wind. It was the worst possible circumstances for a fire. It is what some would call a perfect storm. So, the 13th of February, 1945, 240 Lancaster planes make their way into German territory. The Germans don't even know where they're going. And what happens is the following. They drop approximately everything that they had in only 15 minutes. 15 minutes. This creates a fire in most of Dresden. And the fires start to meet each other. So they start to combine. And what happens is that when there's this much fire, it sucks the oxygen out of the atmosphere. And so this is just the first wave of the Dresden fire, of the Dresden bombing. What happens later after this is that after everybody's been in the street, this is a strategy that the Germans used in London and many other cities that they bombed. They would have this first round. And then afterwards, when the firefighters would be out there fighting the fires and civilians would have gone out of their houses, they have a second round of bombing, one that is much bigger. So this time, 500 planes came through and did the exact same thing. They bombed. And after this bombing, a firestorm was created, which is one of the most crazy things that I've ever heard of. And it seems taken out of Dante's Inferno. It's literally a tornado of fire. The scenes that you can see on the internet, if you find them, are not very pretty. The people of Dresden literally just roasted. I think what I take away from this is that this wasn't even the end. A little bit later, the next morning, the Americans bombed again. And so Dresden, the city that was never bombed, stopped being. Dresden was obliterated. The Americans paraded it in their newspapers. Dresden isn't there anymore. Dresden is gone. Goebbels, the head of the Nazi propaganda machine, he decided, instead of minimizing what happened in Dresden, to maximize it, he decided to leak details and pictures on some personal accounts of the bombing to the Swiss press, which was neutral. And for the first time in the entire war, people were doubting whether the Allies were the good guys or not. Even in the Allied countries, the United States, the people in the US were absolutely outraged. Goebbels turned a German loss into a fight between the Allied countries. This was, to say the least, a tragedy. Most people call it a terrorist bombing. It was absolutely, absolutely infernal. I think to end, I would like to finish with this. After the war was over and people started talking about the Dresden bombing and fire more thoroughly, it became clear that Harris wasn't well-balanced. But Bomber Command became shunned. They weren't given any appreciation after the war was over, even though they helped finish the war in many, many ways. The Dresden bombing is one of the most debated subjects to date about World War II, but it's impossible to say that Bomber Command didn't aid in the war effort and wasn't one of the most sacrificed positions to have. 55% of the people who enlisted and had to work in Bomber Command died, and they were not given any recognition for decades. These horrible events happen every single time a war like this happens, and it's very, very difficult for us to understand them. But I dare you to think a little bit about the people who gave their service, and I dare you to think a little bit about the lives that were later lost at the end of the war. Thank you very much. Remember that we're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and I'll see you again next week. Thank you.